morning, I hope you're ready for a little bit of fun. It's summertime. I thought we could use a fun topic. We've gone through a big series. We've kind of got our picnic thing next week, and God's kind of put this on my heart that we're going to talk about Jeepology this morning, the study of the Jeep. And you might think that's kind of sacrilegious or Larry's way of just getting to talk about and brag about his Jeep, and you might be partly right. I don't mind mentioning that it's fun to talk about. But I thought, man, God, is there a cool way we could use something that I'm passionate about and use it as a cool illustration to talk about you? And he helped me kind of put it together, so I hope you enjoy it this morning. So when mud and faith collide is where we're going. So the question that raises is, Larry, how are you going to tie this in? So Jeepology, why was the Jeep built? That's the question. Why was it built? And you guys know that it was built for war, right? We've got Sarge. How many of you have seen the Cars movie that's been out? I love Sarge. He's a fun character. He's all in the face of Fillmore, the little bus, and the hippie guy, and they got this thing, and he's got his little surplus shop. But Sarge is disciplined. And if you didn't know, Sarge is a 1942's World War II Willys Jeep, Army Jeep. And one of the first styles, if you will, and a good one at that. He's got this wartime attitude. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is at the end, when Sarge is with, like, the blinged-out Hummers that have never tasted dirt at the end of the movie. He's like, drop and give me 20 miles, get out there, go, 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 go! And it just cracks me up, because I'm like, that's kind of Columbus. You look around, everybody's got an SUV or whatever, and like, none of them go off-roading, whatever. They're not built for that. They're just trying to like flaunt their stuff, and they got neon lights and bass and whatever. And Sarge is like, no, we want just the stripped-down core model. And that's him. And while I was on vacation, you can look at this next picture, Devin and I found one and thought, man, that's perfect. We got to take a picture of it. Because I like it because it's simple. The Jeep was simple, and it was tough. It was built to take a licking and keep going. I love it because when they break down, you can fix them real easy. The parts are easy to get to. The bolts are simple. The Army could, you know, mix and match and do it all right. And they actually gave them out to more of the countries than just ours. And so I thought it was a very versatile vehicle. So here's our where we're going with that, is that we're in a battle too. Did you know that? Sure you did. But we don't always feel that we're in this battle, this army kind of mentality, that there is a war going on for your soul, for your life, for your spiritual growth, and we need to put our armor on. We need to put our trail armor on. You know, they've got trail armor now for like Jeeps like mine that aren't like the Army ones. They're like, here, you can protect your bumpers, and you can protect, you know, the rocker panels, and you can protect your fenders and your headlights, and Sarge is like, you don't need that. We were built to be tough. Spiritually, we do need that armor. And that armor comes from God, our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we need to put that on. And sometimes I think we forget. And we kind of get in these funks of depression and sadness. And why is this happening to me? And we don't like our life. And we want to be in a different place. And sometimes we just forget that, man, there is an opposition out there. There's a force that doesn't want you to succeed, that doesn't want you to be here this morning, that doesn't want me to teach, that doesn't want us to get into the Word of God. And so we are in a battle. And I want to read to you from this book, A More Elite Soldier. A while back, Chuck Holton came and actually spoke at our church. And here's what he says toward the end of his book. He says, remember, the elite soldier is competent, well-trained, a well-equipped warrior. While he may not always be privy to the big picture, he understands his portion and position in the mission. He performs it with perseverance and skill, trusting in the knowledge and ability of his commander. When not engaged in combat, he is always training for the next battle. Being an elite soldier isn't all guns and glory. It is a life of purpose-filled privation, meaningful misery, and postponed payment. It is never easy, but it's always worth it. Pursuing God's purpose is, by definition, the hard road, a path that few will be able to follow. The real question is this. Are you willing to be an elite soldier? Are you ready to follow your commander to make you more than you were, more than you are, and more than you ever could be without his help? God has a special mission for each of us, and for this reason, we are given a few moments on earth. So do not be afraid. Join the battle, he says. And I'm going to say this. You don't really have to join the battle. You're in the battle. What you have to decide is, are you going to be an elite soldier or not? Are you going to fight the battle, or are you going to let the enemy push you over and run over you? So the battle is here, guys, and you know that. But sometimes I think we get a little too comfortable where we forget, and we don't like how maybe God's timing works out in our lives. And we kind of get frustrated. I don't want to say, hey, let's tighten our belts a little bit this morning. Let's remember there's an opposition out there. And let's fight for the stuff we believe in. I'd like to take a look at the Bible here. So if you've got one, if you would, open it up to the book of Ephesians. It's probably no surprise to you that we're going to take a look at the armor of God here. Paul writing to the Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Here's what the Word of God says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, but against the powers. And that's kind of where I want to camp out for a minute, is this whole idea of standing our ground. Are there any Princess Bride fans in the room? There's a scene in The Princess Bride where there's a castle gate, and the gate is guarded by 30 men, and there's but one key, and three of our heroes are going to go up against the gate and try to get in. And they do this funny kind of deal where they take Andre the Giant, and they stick him in a wheelbarrow, and then they put a black kind of a cloak on him, and then they light him on fire. And they wheel him up, and he's like, "I'm the great dread pirate Roberts. There are take no survivors." And they come up, and he's flaming, and the 30 men are like here, and the guy with the keys in charge is like, "Stand your ground! Stand your ground, men! Stand your ground!" And the guys are like, "Yeah!" And they all take off, and he's left there by himself. And, you know, Andre the Giant's coming and coming and coming, and they basically conk him on the head and take his key, and they get in. But the whole point of that is we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to stand our ground, not flee. And so we need to draw that line in the sand and say we're not going to give in to fear and intimidation, and we're going to stick to our guns. We're going to stick to our faith and be in it for the long haul, even when it's hard, even when it's tough. I hope that captured you, because I thought that was a fun little story from the movie. As we continue to look at the purpose of the Jeep, it's clear that they were not built to stay on the road, were they? They were meant to take the troops into the woods, into the dirt. And so they were meant to be in the rough terrain, which brings us to our next point, which is the Jeeps were built for mud. I usually hang out with teenagers during the week, and on this particular day, I was hanging out with Nick and Tim and Sean, and we had gone to Taco Bell, and we're playing basketball, and I'm taking them home, and we're driving in the Jeep, the top's off, and they're egging me on. They're like, "Larry, do a burnout. Larry, go on the gravel. Larry, go on the rocks. Take some dirt. Get some mud. Come on, man. You never take us off-roading." And they just keep prodding me and prodding me and prodding me. And I'm like, all right, I got to be the safe youth pastor. I got to get these parents have been trusting me with their kids. I got to take them home. So, you know, we're going. I'm like, that's a load of junk. So we're getting closer and closer to Sean's house. And these guys have kind of slowly kind of quit bugging me about it. And over by Robert's Road, there's this turnoff where the tractor trailers can do like this little dirt turnaround. And I see this big mud puddle. And we're just going, and I'm like, boo! And we go in there, and like, it was deep. Like, the tire got swallowed up, and water goes flying over and gets all three of them wet. And they're like, yeah! It was like the best expression ever. I wish I had a picture of it for you. It was so funny. But that was the whole point of having a Jeep, right? It's to do fun stuff like that. And these guys, I don't think they'll forget that anytime soon. That was a good time. But here's the deal. God spurs us on to get muddy, too. That he wants us, like these girls did in other countries. And you guys know this full well. So many of you are serving around here. But I thought when Pastor Tom preached a while back about meeting the needs of the poor and the needy, I thought, man, you know what? There's something to that that we haven't quite got. And so I wanted to take a look at a couple verses from the Bible. Here, this is Galatians 5, 13 and 14. Paul writing to the Galatians, not wanting them to use their freedom in Christ to indulge their sinful nature. He says this after that, instead of indulging your sinful nature, rather do
do this, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought, man, that's really good. That's really true. Serving each other, using our gifts, using our talents, putting them to use to help other people, to build up God's body, to build up the church, to reach out to people, to share the message of Jesus. This next picture is a fun one because it's about mud. And we went to the Alive Music Festival this summer with the youth group, and it rained. And in fact, it stormed quite a bit. And it got pretty muddy out there. And we weren't actually serving God out there, but I thought the picture was really cool because if you look at it, they're pretty sloppy. And there's a funny thing about mud. When you're clean, you don't want to be in it. True? But once you get in it and you get a little bit dirty, you don't mind it so much. Right? So like at the beginning of the festival, we just show up. If it had been like that when we just showed up, nobody would have really gotten near it. It wasn't that fun and cool. We didn't want to be that way all day. But then once it just rained and everybody was dirty and sweaty and stinky anyway, and we got muddy, then it was like, let's dive down the grassy hill with the mud and make more mud and splash. And do you get the idea? And I think it's like that with serving God too. That sometimes when you go and you push somebody out of an intersection because they're stuck, you stop and you help jump their car, you go over and you buy them some groceries, or there's somebody with a sign that says, we'll work for food, and you take them to lunch. When you do those small things, I think we end up enjoying it and doing it, and God uses it, and we don't mind it so much. But it's hard to just say, all right, after church, instead of going out to lunch at Max and Irma's, I want you to hop in your car, go downtown, and I want you to buy lunch for the people you see on the street corner. People are like, I kind of wanted to go to lunch. you get where I'm going? But if it's a work day and it's Saturday and we'd all just been doing a big project here at the church and then we're like, yeah, let's go do that, you see, kind of, it's not such an obstacle. So, let me encourage you to get a little dirty. Maybe in ways that you haven't. And say, you know what? God needs us to do that. And the verse, I think, is pretty fitting. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. It's kind of ironic in a way that we all come to God dirty and unclean and muddy with sin. And then Jesus steps in and cleans us up. And then he sends us right back out to the mud to get dirty, but for a different purpose this time. To pull others out of the mud. And it's a lot like off-roading. It's kind of an unspoken rule. When you're on the trail and somebody's vehicle's broke down, you stop and you help. And that's pretty much what God wants us to do in life. Our next point is that Jeeps were built to last. Did you know the basic design of the Jeep Wrangler hasn't really changed much? If you looked at that picture of Sarge in the World War II model and you looked at the front of mine out in the parking lot, the grill pretty much looks the same. And the body line pretty much looks the same. The top's a little different. They've upgraded the suspension. But if you look even at this poster, the top left corner, you got the first one all the way to the one in the center is the newest one. The model hasn't changed that much. They've got some funky ones that are pink. I don't know why they did that. They've got pretty much a similar basic design, basic style. Jeep maintenance is what I want to talk about. That when you've got a vehicle, you need to take care of it. And there's a couple things that you need to do, and here they are. You need to focus on the frame and the body. And I put that first, because if you own a Jeep or have ever had a Jeep or have you ever looked underneath a Jeep, the frame and the body are the first thing to go. Don't worry about the engine. It's solid and strong. It'll get 150,000 miles, no problem. But you got to take care of the frame and the engine because they're prone to rust really easy. So you've got to do that. Then you've got the engine, doing the oil changes, doing the fluid checks, taking it in for its maintenance, and you've got the brakes. You want to be able to stop. It's a good thing. So you guys, you can laugh a little bit. That's pretty much simple car maintenance. Soul maintenance is where I want to end up here. And that is a little bit tougher to do. And not as scheduled. And sometimes we don't even take the time to do it. So soul maintenance. We need to take some time to rest. Did you know God wants us to rest and he wants us to take a Sabbath? That we're supposed to do that? And that even being here on Sunday morning is a good step. But your Sabbath, your rest, your Sunday doesn't end when the service is over. There's more to it. That we need to also remain in Christ's Word, to be connected with God on our own, to be spending time with Him, to let His Word move into our lives, and to let it come out in application. And then to rely on the Spirit of God. And sometimes, you guys, I'm really bad at this. I rely on myself too much. And the other part of it is to live in community, to rely on each other. Did you know I need you? And you need each other? And that if we're going to get through this trail, we're going to get through this journey of faith, that we've got to lean on each other. And we've got to lean on the Spirit of God. So let's take a look at Exodus 20, verses 8 to 10. Ten Commandments. Should look familiar. Chapter 20, Exodus, verse 8, starting all the way through 10. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. We live in a busy world, a really busy one. We live in really busy times, and we have really busy lives. And our busyness has turned into sin. Did you know that? That our busyness has, in a lot of ways, cut out our time with God, has stepped in, and we have come to the spotlight, and our selfishness is reigning on the throne instead of God. And I feel like of all the Ten Commandments, the believers in Christ haven't taken this one as seriously as they need to. And I think it really irks God that we work and work and work and work and work 7 days a week, and not just at work, but at home and all over the place, all the time. We are not a people in America that are still. Anybody ever been to like Mexico and they hang out for the siesta? We don't do that here. And it bugs people from America when they go there sometimes. Or if you go to like Africa and they've got a really long walk and they might say that this is going to have a service later today. Just later today. Like, you have a time? No? Just when everybody arrives. Well, they're walking from all over. And that drives us crazy, doesn't it? And this whole concept of time, this whole idea of rest is really, really hard for us as a people in America to grab a hold of. And I don't think it's just America, but I'm talking to you guys, and I feel like, hey, we need to slow down. I look at Ecclesiastes, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, and after every one, I want to put, and to be productive, and to be productive. There's a time for war, and to be productive. There's a time to rest, and be productive. There's a time, yeah, that doesn't work. And God's like, you know what, I need you to stop for a minute. So I want to read a book. Actually, I want to read a part of a book to you by a guy named Louis Giglio. You guys ready for a book? I'm going to make you rest. Just wait. This guy, man, he has pierced my heart with his words because I do not do this very well. And maybe you can relate. The truth is, feeling small may not be so bad if in recognizing our smallness we come to realize the wonder of God, a God who is beyond our ability to fully describe and imagine, yet someone we are privileged to know, to love, and to embrace. Looking up from our tiny estate, we are faced with the supremacy of a God who not only is fully capable of running the entire cosmos today, a task that doesn't even tax him in the slightest, but sustaining the affairs of our lives as well. You would think getting a glimpse of God's true size would have us happily lining up to embrace our itty-bitty selves, especially given we are loved so dearly by the one who gives them to us in the first place. But then again, human history is not exactly the record of man's unquenchable quest for smallness. More accurately, our history is a stark reminder of our insatiable quest to make our names, our fortunes, our fame, and our kingdom as vast and as enduring as possible. Unfortunately, such a quest is an exhausting proposition. For one thing, none of us seems to know when big is enough, leading us in a dizzying and deceptive staircase that promises contentment while constantly beckoning us one rung higher to even more. But somehow, more is never quite enough, and the climb continues. Even more exhausting, our preoccupation with ourselves puts us at odds with God Himself. Given that any attempt to pump up our name is in effect an attempt to push Him from the center and to steal His glory. A quest as tiring and as futile as trying to extinguish the sun with an eyedropper. Isn't that funny? That our quest to be in the center, to be the focus, is like trying to squirt the sun out. God's like, man, you guys don't get it. But God, also in his love and in his touch and how in touch he is with himself, desires to do huge God-sized things through you. If you're ready to abandon the path of making more of yourself and embrace the miracle of being small, yet knowing his name. He says it all starts when we look up. He continues with this about the Sabbath. God put Sabbath in every week for a reason. And in looking up, that looking up we do on the first day of the week must bear fruit in all the moments of every other day for us to stay connected to the reality that God is the I am and we are all the I am nots. For me, he says, embracing smallness is not a one-time proposition, but a daily event. That's why in Eden, there wasn't like one big giant Sabbath to end all Sabbaths. God knew how strong the undertow of sinful pride would be. He knew how quickly we would read and believe our own press. That's why on the seventh day, he rested. And it anchors each week, and it needs to anchor our weeks. And why Sabbath is still calling us to the end of ourselves today. So you got that? Don't go home and just mow the lawn, work, doing the stuff in the yard, get all busy and get crazy again today. Take some time to look up, to remember who God is, that he's big, that we're small, to say, God, I need you, to remember the stuff he's done in the past so that we can look to the future with hope, to calm down, to be still, to slow down, to fight the machine of life and say, you know what? I need to refocus and recenter. Guys, I'm bad at this. You look at my life and you walk around with Tina and Devin and myself, I'm not very good at living this. But man, I want to share it with you and say, hey, let's fight for our souls together. Let's move on to remain. God wants us to remain in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Nothing significant, nothing eternal. Can't even breathe a breath of life without God giving that to us and allowing us to have it. So staying connected on your own in God's word. And the next one, to rely on the Holy Spirit. Zechariah is a great verse that I want to share with you here. So he said to me, this is what the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I've got that on my computer desktop. So that every week I can look at it and say, you know what, when you get ready for youth group with this week, when you go back home to your family, when you're spending time with your son, when you're out serving other people, remember, it's not about you and your strength. Lean on me, lean on me, lean on my strength. And the whole idea of living in community. We've got that little board out in the lobby that, man, we need that. And the enemy is going to say, hey, don't sign up for a group. Hey, you need a break. Hey, don't you don't need that right now. And God's Spirit's like, you know what? You need community. You need accountability. If you're working on that discipleship stuff, you need people in your life. You can't do this battle on your own. When you fall down, you need someone to lift you up. You need people to set you in the right direction. So let me urge you that way, to stay connected. If we're going to last, we have to take care of our souls. And if a Jeep is going to last, you have to maintain it and upgrade it from time to time. I'd like to draw your attention to this, the Jeep that's been behind me all morning. This Jeep up on stage was not well maintained. In fact, it was rotting in a trash heap on the curb of the road, and my son and I are in the process of restoring it. And it was nasty with leaves and mud and gunk and stuff and everything. And we cleaned it up and peeled the stickers off and painted it up. And it's looking pretty good. And we're going to try to stick a battery in it. And actually, I tested it. The engine still works. But the idea is that this Jeep was not well maintained. But we need to maintain our souls. And just looking at this Jeep gets me kind of excited. And that's our next point, is that Jeeps are fun. They were meant to be enjoyed. Did you know that? That these teenagers totally love hanging out and riding in the Jeep. And every time we go somewhere, they want to ride in the Jeep, and there's only room for three, and they always get bugged. And the guys that got to go to Magic Mountain are like, sweet, yeah, driving on the freeway with the top down. And just looking at that picture and being up here makes me kind of want to go drive mine. So I think I just might. I'll be back in a little bit. I think I need to do a little off-roading.
To be enjoyed. We're built to be enjoyed. And if you ask Lynn, you know, why do you drive a Jeep? Because they stink and rot, and it's just fun. And sometimes you just need to enjoy the journey of getting from one place to another. And sometimes we get stuck in traffic and get all mad, but I'm sitting in my Jeep with the top down, sun's out. I'm like, it's good. And sometimes I forget that. And so the Jeep for me is a reminder to not take life so seriously sometimes. That God meant us to have an abundant life now, that we can, as followers of Jesus, have fun too. To celebrate, to enjoy the things that God has done, and that we can enjoy life right here, right now. And God wants us to enjoy Him. I tell you what, I better get back inside with the pulpit so that we can talk about what we've learned.
Woo! Did you want to go? This whole idea of enjoying the journey. Man, we get so focused on the destination. If you've ever been on a long trip, all you want to do is get there. Most of the time. At least that's my wife. She doesn't want to stop. Just is focused to get there. I'm like, hey, let's go have ice cream. Let's, you know, take a little pit stop. Let's go for a hike. No, we got to get there. And sometimes I think we get so focused on our faith and wanting to get to some place of maturity, wanting to get to having a certain home or a certain living in a certain place, or having a certain job, or having your life look like you had planned or your dreams or your goals. And we don't like getting sidetracked from our stuff. And God's got a different plan, and sometimes it doesn't go like we want. But He wants us to learn from it. He wants us to enjoy the journey, to enjoy the ride, and to enjoy Him. Man, God made us to enjoy Him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I see a lot of Christian people that mope. You know, they walk around, and they don't have any joy. And they're not full of the Spirit, and they're not excited about life. And they're kind of in this funk, and you're like, you know what? They look just like the secular people. Where's the hope and stuff? And so I'm like, you know what? We got to remember that this journey we're on wasn't supposed to be all strict and a bunch of rules and dress a certain way and be a certain way. God wants us to live for Him in a whole bunch of variety of ways, and that we can embrace that and have fun doing it. So let's take a look at Psalm 126 right up here. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. and we are filled with joy. When God does something big, like bringing the captives back, when God does something big, man, we need to celebrate that. And then we got to celebrate the little things that happen throughout the week, too, so that we don't end up in this place where we're living our lives with no joy and no fun, and God's not being honored in that. So it's kind of a fun one this morning, I hope, that God wants us to have a good time. He didn't make us just to be happy. And that's not what I'm saying this morning. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have suffering. It's not just eat, drink, and be merry. But it's, hey, follow God and have fun and honor Him and enjoy Him while we're doing it. So let's wrap it up. Let's bring it home. Of those things that we've talked about this morning, about the war, about mud, about lasting, about enjoying, which of those do you need to focus on? And which are you doing good at? So maybe take a little bit of an inventory. Say, all right, hey, I might be doing okay with these one or two. But man, you know what? When he was talking about that, God was just moving in my heart, and I need to focus on, hey, this one or this one. Let me expand on them a little bit. Built for war to say, you know what? You got to remember each day, you got to put your armor on. You got to remember you're in a battle. And that life's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And so you got to guard yourself. And you got to be prepared. And expect to be attacked. That's why it's a war. But know that Jesus beat the devil and we've got victory. And in the end, we win. God wins. So remember where it's headed. We get to see what's coming. And that can give us some hope. Built for mud to say, you know what? Maybe you're not connected and serving anywhere around the church. Maybe you aren't really doing much in your neighborhood or in our town, Columbus, and Worthington, Hilliard, wherever you might be. So maybe there's some way you could take a step and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a little bit dirty. I'm going to go out and ask my neighbors if I can help them some way. Or maybe you take a trip with your family and you do something with a local organization. You grab Habitat for Humanity and you go help build some houses. You guys are pretty good at this. I don't want to pound you on it, but man, helping the poor, helping the widow, the orphan, doing those kinds of things, the people that are homeless, those are tough things to do. So let's think about that. The lasting part. Are you burned out? Are you worn out? Are you tired of the grind? Do you need refreshed? Do you need to step back? Do you need to recenter, refocus? Do you need to feed your soul? I believe we all do, but you might be on different scales and different levels of that. But hey, take some time today. Take some time this week and do that. And then build it into your life. It's really hard to build that into my life. But man, I need it. I need to be reminded that I need to take a Sabbath. I need to remain. I need to rely. And the last one, to enjoy. Maybe you just need to enjoy the Christian life a little bit more than you are. And maybe you need to get together with some friends and have a little celebration and celebrate something that God has done recently. To enjoy God a little bit. Maybe you write him a note or a poem or a thank you or a song. Do something. Express your heart to God. And if you're parents and you've got kids, man, the kids would love to have some fun with you and with their faith. And it's fun for me to work on this with Devin, knowing that, hey, you know what? We can have fun together and I can teach my son a little bit about God and what it's like to follow him in a way that he thinks is cool. So, if you would you pray with me? God, I'm humbled to be up here in front of these guys. They're a great group to teach, but more than that, they're friends and family. And I don't have it all together. I need a lot of work. And God, these are the things that you've taught me over the last several years, kind of snippets of truths here and there, and wanting to bring them together to share with them what you're doing in my life and say, man, I need their prayers for these things to be built into me. God, and I want to pray for them, that you would build them into them. God, that you would remind them and encourage them and protect them as they are in this battle, waging it for their soul, waging it for their own spiritual growth. That they need to remember that and to remember that you have given them victory. Would you do that for them this week? Clothe them in your protection and help them to fight the good fight. God, would you help them as they go out to serve? Would you give them opportunities? Would you place things in their path? Would you help them to put the things aside that keep us from getting dirty and serving people in ways that maybe are awkward or uncomfortable? God, would you help us to love the people around us and to show them your love? God, would you help all of us to do some soul maintenance, to remain and connected with you, to rest, to be still? And God, would you help us to enjoy you? That you meant for us to have an abundant life. and not a life free of pain or of hurt, but a life that we can still look in the midst of all those things and say, man, God is still good, and he's still working, and celebrate the things that you are about. God, we need you to help us with all that. God, thanks for who you are. Thanks for the girls and their projects. Would you go before us this morning as we love each other? Would you help us to stay connected with you and in community? God, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.